Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth, where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, I want to warn America, beware America's color revolution. Yes, I want to bring this back. It's so important in today's world, especially with those events transpiring in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What in the world, you may ask, is a color revolution? Well, some of us are familiar with the term. Hopefully you are now as well. If you've been following the recent history of Ukraine or even the recent change of government in Syria, or like I say, the events that have been happening in Minneapolis. But for most people, the phenomenon of a color revolution might just as well be a new marketing campaign at Crayola Crayons, or maybe this year's fashion offerings at Prada. But color revolution is much more than that. With the recent violence and death in the streets of Minneapolis over the presence and the operations of ICE there, that is Immigration Customs Enforcement, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, well, we are seeing the unfolding of a Marxist revolution in the making. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist here. No, make no mistake about this, dear listener. What you are seeing beginning in Minneapolis is not a grassroots protest born of intrinsic anger by the general public over the tyrannical oppression, of an agency of the federal government instigated by that rascally dictator Donald Trump. No, most Americans want precisely what is happening there. That is the capture and deportation of illegal aliens by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That is ICE. Rather, what you are seeing is a well-organized, well-planned operation to incite the eventual overthrow of our constitutional republic by Marxist forces long embedded in our country, both in, around, and outside of our system of government. Now, understand, the bulk of quote-unquote protesters that you see in the streets are in reality paid agents of NGOs, that is, non-governmental organizations, NGOs like ICE Watch, the well-funded organization, well-funded by stolen monies from sources like USAID, USAID. No, it has not been completely disbanded. Monies are still rolling out of USAID to organizations like ICE Watch, which tracks, follows, and harasses ICE agents as they carry out their duties. In fact, Renee Good, the woman who rammed an ICE agent with her car and was shot in turn in self-defense, Renee Good was precisely a trained agent of ICE Watch. With all of the crocodile tears being shed for her, it is important to realize that all of this professionally ginned-up drama and violence is for a larger purpose, and that is a wider, more violent revolution that will eventually topple our republic. Enter, then, the color revolution. Now, the term color revolution has come to represent the revolutionary overthrow of an existing government through sometimes violent, but often less than violent, means. We see violent means being used in Minneapolis, for example. When we think of modern revolutions, we think in terms of the Russian Revolution with Marxist rebels storming the ramparts, guns blazing, or maybe Mao Zedong leading his Red Army into Beijing in 1949, or even the Vietnam War with Ho Chi Minh's armies and people shooting their way into Saigon at the end of that conflict in 1973. Well, revolution tended to come with this built-in model for Marxists until the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989. Oh, that changed things. A new model of revolution appeared, tried and tested by our own Central Intelligence Agency over the decades, beginning quite simply with the overthrow of the Syrian government in 1949. We don't often examine our history to see how our own agencies undermine us now. Well, the CIA then cut its baby teeth, if you will, on regime change there, and they never looked back. Its history is one, that is, the CIA's history is one not of effective gathering of intelligence on behalf of the president, no, but rather that of covert action against government. Governments that were traditionally not friendly to the United States interests. I highly recommend the book Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA by Tim Weiner. Yeah, by Tim Weiner or Weiner. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. But he wrote this excellent book, A Legacy of Ashes. The legacy of the CIA is one of ashes, the history of the CIA. Well, color revolution is a misnomer in a way and very unfortunate choice of labels. What would happen in the course of these revolutions is that the leaders would rally their supporters under a particular color of flag. And consequently, the revolution would be named after the color. A good example is the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, of all places, that transpired over 2004 and 2005. And in this Orange Revolution, the people of Ukraine rose up and protested a fraudulent election result where the favored candidate, Viktor Yushchenko, lost to the very unpopular Viktor Yanukovych. But Yanukovych was favored by the West. So, oddly enough, through the efforts and labors of the CIA, he won. Well, the protesters in Kyiv rallied to the city center under the orange flags. The Orange Revolution, then. The revolution was successful in that the original fraudulent results were annulled and a new election was held in which Yushchenko soundly defeated his rival, Yanukovych. The features of this successful revolution formed the pattern, if you will, for other color revolutions, which were characterized by colors worn or brandished by their supporters. Other examples of color revolutions include the Pink Revolution in Georgia in 2003, the Yellow Revolution in the Philippines in 1986, and the Tulip Revolution in Kyrgyzstan in 2005. Well, so successful have these revolutions been for the CIA that they reliably follow a pattern. So I'd like to outline that pattern for you. Seven features of a color revolution, which we're seeing transpiring in our own country right now, especially centered in Minneapolis. Well, first of all, number one, there's an external power to the targeted regime sponsors, plans, and organizes. And this external power implements the so-called indigenous revolutions. An external power, first of all, has to be present. And the CIA has been doing that for almost a century now, the external power, and has much to show for it. And most recently, the Euromaidan Revolution of 2013 and 2014. Now, this Euromaidan Revolution was an entirely artificially manufactured revolution quarterbacked by our own U.S. State Department with assistance by the CIA. Yes, this is happening in Minneapolis, for that matter, too, quarterbacking by an external power. Now, in the Euromaidan Revolution, the popularly elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, was targeted for ousting by his pro-Russian alignments, He favored Russia. For example, he refused to sign a trade deal and make a political association with the European Union, but rather he made economic deals with Russia instead. Oh, a fatal flaw. Well, it prompted then Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland. Her name crops up constantly in this conflict then of Ukraine with Russia. Well, she backed Arseniy Yatsenyuk for president and immediately began working behind the scenes to build a coalition with Ukraine for the overthrow of this supposed pro-Russian government. What you see transpiring on the streets of the United States, dear listener, even today, has its origins not in spontaneous grassroots uprisings, no, but in entirely contrived astroturf mobs organized, funded by progressive activists, government, NGOs, and various factions of our intelligence community and foreign powers even, like the Chinese Communist Party. Oh, for example, Norm Eisen, a former Obama ethics czar, as he was called, is a key player. Eisen co-founded Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, which has the acronym CREW. And he also authored the playbook, A Color Revolution Manual. Eisen implemented David Brock's 2017 memo, Democracy Matters, Strategic Plan for Action, it was called, which aimed to sue Trump into paralysis, quote unquote. That's right from the document. Through media attacks like Media Matters and through lawfare. Now, Norm Eisen drafted 10 impeachment articles before Trump's 2018 Ukraine call, even. And that served, he served as a DNC co-counsel for the impeachment, too. And he joined the Soros-linked Transition Integrity Project, the Transition Integrity Project called TIP, to war game a contested 2020 election, which, of course, it was. So, anyway, many of the groups that you see active in Minneapolis today are funded by, brace yourself, NGOs, financed by money from USAID, Ice Watch being in the forefront. Those rent-a-mobs, those pallets of bricks being delivered to downtowns in our major cities, those expensive face shields and gas masks being worn by rioters, those Antifa black uniforms and billy clubs and professional organizers directing them, they are all funded by groups like the National Endowment for Democracy and George Soros's Open Society Foundation, which in turn receive huge USAID, USAID grants. Well, the money trail can be traced all the way back to the Chinese Communist Party. These are all front groups backed in the United States. In fact, so coordinated and effective are these groups that they are collectively known as United Front Work, which labor to promote China and her interests. And they cause disunity and foment conflict among the U.S. population as well. So, if you're a shop owner in Minneapolis and a brick comes flying through your shop window, thrown by a well-dressed, well-equipped hooligan from who knows where, you can thank not a random spontaneous demonstrator, but a paid activist working for groups that have been planning a color revolution for years. Oh, yes. And then secondly, also, this color revolution is composed of a cadre of dedicated workers laboring in cells that is established, which network together under the management of community organizers. Yes, community organizers. Sound familiar? Yes, Obama was a community organizer at one time. Now, this is a technique, having a cadre of dedicated workers, a technique the CIA perfected in places like Nicaragua and Iran. In 1953, the CIA helped to create a crop of organizers in Iran, for example, to protest President Mossadegh and install the Shah of Iran. Okay. Once again, in Ukraine, during the Euromaidan Revolution, Victoria Nuland and the State Department recruited a team of community organizers to occupy and barricade Independence Square in Kyiv all through January and February of 2014. And these organizers fomented and brought into the streets thousands of Ukrainians to protest the Yanukovych government. Oh, and magically, these protesters were equipped with Western police shields and helmets and other gear supplied by United States NGOs. So today, the action that you see in the streets of America in Minneapolis, for example, is not a spontaneous grassroots movement, but rather an organized, targeted action directed by community organizers who take their orders from men like John Podesta and Michael McFaul, both of whom wargamed an American color revolution back in 2020 in the event that President Trump was reelected. and that color revolution is now being implemented in Minneapolis. Thirdly, a third component of a color revolution is a grievance against the established power is seized upon, highlighted, aggravated, and exploited as an injustice against the people. A grievance. This technique is a variation on the old cliche of nursing a grudge. That is, what may or may not be a legitimate grievance is hyped up out of all proportion into a major existential threat to the people and nation. So it must be acted upon by the people now. Oh, dear listener, once more. In the Euromaidan Revolution in Ukraine in 2013 and 2014, the State Department, on advisement from the CIA, amplified government corruption and abuse of power as existential threats to the existence of Ukraine that must be addressed immediately. And, of course, it was repeated in the media and on the streets incessantly. And this tried-and-true technique is, of course, being employed in our own color revolution unfolding before our eyes in Minneapolis. Oh, the poor abuse put upon immigrant. Trump is trying to kill immigrants. Tom Holman is illegally arresting and deporting innocent men, women, and children who are just trying to become hardworking, tax-paying citizens. And ICE is abusing its power. We must interfere with their arrests, even kill them, right? Oh, those orchestrating America's color revolution are seizing upon this issue as the most important crisis America faces, when in reality is one of many serious issues we face. And oh, even then, it is quite opposite that issue of what's being hyped. The immigration issue is serious in that millions of illegal aliens, many of whom pose real threats to our national security, are living off of the largesse of American society, and some of whom actually hate what America is and stands for. And these immigrants wish to see America taken down. Don't be fooled, dear listener. Your enemies are flying Somali flags and Mexican flags, and they're merely manufacturing a crisis in order to foment revolution and overthrow your liberties and your way of life. Fourthly, the fourth component of a color revolution is, as a result of the grievance, number four, political instability is deliberately created by the aggrieved. A deliberate creation of political instability. Once more, the CIA learned in its practical laboratories across the world that just as a scab can be picked at until an otherwise healing sore is inflamed and infected, so, and even legitimate grievance can be exacerbated until a society becomes unstable and in danger of collapsing. That's a lesson the CIA learned effectively in the so-called Arab Spring of 2010. Oh, this tactic from the CIA's playbook was applied directly to the Euromaidan Revolution in Ukraine as well. These protests were deliberately intensified, even as they're being deliberately intensified in Minneapolis. Make no mistake, dear listener, none of these things are coincidental or unplanned. Even, perhaps, a false flag event is being planned for illegal aliens upon illegal aliens to blame on ICE and to blame on Trump. Oh, none of this is coincidental. It is part and parcel of America's own color revolution. The fifth component, then, of a color revolution is that what must follow is a crisis of the current authorities in power, a crisis. Their legitimacy must come under question. Oh, the CIA perfected this tactic in Panama in 1989 with dictator Manuel Noriega. All through the 70s, Noriega had been a CIA asset who went bad, though, turning into a drug-running dictator. And the CIA prepared the ground for his overthrow by an incessant propaganda campaign in both Panama and the United States, undermining his legitimacy and authority. And when his fall finally came, no one minded. In fact, it was welcomed. That happened in Ukraine, and it's happening now in the United States. What Podesta and McFaul and the rest of this Marxist cabal want is to do the same thing to President Trump. Question his legitimacy and call for his downfall. If they can bring the so-called immigration crisis to a head, label him as a dictator and a king, right, then he can be undermined and forced to resign or else be severely compromised for the rest of his administration. The sixth component of a color revolution is media must be under the control of the revolutionaries, dictating the narrative of the revolution. Media is very important in a color revolution. A lesson learned again by the CIA, but to their consternation this time. In the El Salvador Civil War, the radical socialist group FMLN effectively broadcast their propaganda via Radio Vencelamos. Yes, Hernan Vera was a leader whose regular programs generated support among the people for the revolution, and the government hunted this mobile evasive radio unit relentlessly, but they did it all in vain. Now, the U.S. State Department did in Ukraine precisely what our own mainstream media is doing in America with a so-called immigration crisis, that is, identify criminal elements of the illegal alien population as family men, like Abrego Garcia, the El Salvadorian gang member, right, who Van Holland went over to visit and had cocktails with, right, and identify working immigrants and other non-threatening descriptors. And they portray the violent street demonstrations with burning cars and beaten policemen, citizens dragged from their shops, cars, right, as mostly peaceful. And the media lull their listening sheep into the false illusion that what they see with their own eyes and hear with their ears are really just the opposite, right? Oh, dear listener, if our own unfolding color revolution fails, it will be in large part to the failure of the now discredited mainstream media and the reliance of the American people on alternative, independent news sources like this one that are now flourishing. So be creative and industrious, dear listener. Seek out those sources, because the seventh element of a color revolution is being implemented, and that seventh element is a true dilemma is created for the ruling powers. If they strike with force to shut down the revolution, they only aggravate the situation and hasten their own downfall. If they concede to the impossible demands of the enemy, they ipso facto capitulate to their own overthrow. Oh, this is the dilemma that the Marxists are seeking to put us in this color revolution. If all of the previous elements have been successful, then this last situation will prove to be the coup de grace for the administration. They find themselves damned if they do negotiate their way out of a situation, since the terms are deliberately extreme, but they are also damned if they don't negotiate, because a heavy hand of force will further exacerbate the ill will of the people against them, ostensibly. So, once again, we have seen this played out in Ukraine, and it's trying to be played out in America. President Trump is being maneuvered into this precise box dilemma. If everything goes according to plan, he'll be so discredited by his heavy-handed response to the crisis, characterized by the media as such, of course, that he can't further crack down on the uprising with force without risking nationwide resistance, such that he must accept terms dictated by the progressive left, which will effectively end his administration. Now, the openly Marxist governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, needs the violence and turmoil transpiring in his streets. So make no mistake about this, dear listener. It's exactly what he wants. In fact, if he and others conspiring with him, like Mayor Jacob Frey, the fellow communist in Congress too, if he can blow on these sparks of turmoil and fan them into a full-fledged wildfire flame of revolution, oh, they will achieve their Marxist ends. It also distracts from the scandal of utter corruption in Walz's administration concerning the pirating of taxpayer dollars siphoned through the Somali immigrant community in Minnesota. It's all of a whole piece, listener. The money grifted from the American taxpayer through fraud is in turn used to finance the groups creating revolution in the streets of Minneapolis. Voila! This is your American color revolution. Oh, dear Christian, dear citizen, we value our Christian heritage here in America and the constitutional republic based on Christian principles provided by our founding fathers. And this is entirely being undermined by the atheistic Marxist in our midst. Do you see how close we are to losing our republic? We need to pray for President Trump and pray for ICE, for that matter. Pray for the safety and the effectiveness of ICE agents in indeed helping to clear our streets, especially of the violent criminals that have been imported here through immigration. That which has been practiced abroad for decades by our intelligence community has now come home to roost. It is the overthrow of a popularly elected president who's doing precisely what the people wanted. That is deporting, arresting illegal aliens and shipping them home or putting them in jail. And as happens again and again in these color revolutions, once the ascending power is in place, it can never be removed. It's an axiom. Socialism that gains power by ballots can only be removed from power by bullets. And we don't want to get into that situation, dear listener. Please pray for and work hard for the understanding of this color revolution. And let us hold up in prayer and labor on behalf of our president and his administration, especially ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and pray for the a Christian republic that has been traditionally ours and needs to remain ours even today. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. New Geneva meets for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. Come and visit us. We encourage you to cross our threshold and see us, visit us. You'll find a friendly welcome. And listen for this broadcast as well on Sundays at 1 and then again at 6 p.m. And you can call us for more information or some feedback. Give us some feedback if you like at area code 208-523-0196. That's area code 208-523-0196.